بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. Today's lecture is how do you spend your time? A question we all need to ask ourselves. So today's lecture will be about the value of time and also about the dangers of procrastination. Time about which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "La tasubbu ad-dahr fa inna Allah huwa ad-dahr," which literally means, "Don't curse time, for indeed Allah is time." And as a result of this hadith, some people have started claiming that ad-dahr, time, is one of the names of Allah. But this is actually not correct, because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said fa inna allaha huwa ad-dahr, he meant that he is the creator of time, not that he himself is time, but he is the creator of time. And we know that because in another narration it has been said that Allah is muqallibul layl wan nahar, that he is the changer, he changes and he flips the night and the day. So time is a period in which things occur. It is not itself an actor, it is not a doer, but it is rather a period or point in which something occurs. And in our common usage in English, we have time, and we say we make time, we find time, and we save time, we lose time. We also say that we buy time, we spend time, we waste time. All these things we're doing with time. And we say that time is money, time flies, we have a lifetime, we have a bedtime, we have dinner time, etc. So all kinds of things with the time that we do and we possess. And all this time is from Allah. And if we do not utilize this time in the way that we are supposed to, then we are lost, we are in a state of loss. So this time which we have, which has been given to us by Allah, the time has a particular value to each and every one of us. If we don't use it as we are meant to be using it, and if we don't utilize it the way we're supposed to, then it becomes a curse for us. And if we use it as we are supposed to use it, and we make good use of it, then it becomes a blessing for us. The time we have may be spent in three ways. Usually, it's either thoughts, conversations, or actions. And we should try and strive to make our thoughts good thoughts. But this can be an area of challenge, because we don't always control our thoughts. So Allah doesn't hold us accountable for our thoughts, whether good or bad, until those thoughts become conversations or actions. قَوْلٌ وَالْعَمَلُ, speaking and action. When we turn them into words or act upon them, then we become responsible for them. So the struggle we have is to try to make our thoughts as much as possible in accordance with Islamic teachings. And to do so, it means we need to be in contact with the source of best thoughts. And the source of best thoughts, of course, is the Quran. If we are to have good conversations, again, we should be doing it in accordance with what Islam teaches us. And if we don't have good conversations, if we don't say good things, then we should do that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, فَلْيَصْمُتْ, and let him be silent, let him be quiet. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لَيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him either say good or be quiet. And this way we protect our conversations from falling into error and becoming a source of accountants against us. And of course, then we have our actions. If we want to establish good actions, then we have to start with those that Islam has prescribed. And they start with with the obvious, the shahada, the declaration of faith, and the prayer, the zakah, the hajj, so forth. All these things are good actions, either obligatory actions or recommended actions, which help us all develop our own actions to become good actions. Allah says, for example, in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, the prayer prevents evil speech and evil deeds. And that is what the prayer is supposed to do. However, for a lot of us, we make salah, we pray, but it doesn't really give us the results and it doesn't have the impact on us that it is supposed to. And it doesn't change our deeds. It doesn't protect us and prevent us from all these bad things. So when we find in this realm of time that we are not getting, we're not becoming better people, and Ramadan after Ramadan, we don't really change, there's nothing changing. Or maybe sometimes we're even getting worse. We used to do some good act, some act of worship. Maybe 1 year ago, 5 years ago, we were regular on it, but now we're not doing it anymore. And this means that our salah, our prayer, as a fundamental principle or the basis in our life, is not serving really the function of what it's supposed to do. So the time which our actions are consuming is of no benefit to us, it's harmful to us. So we need to assess, and we need to assess how to give value to our time. How do we give it its proper value? By making sure we get the most out of it. How to make the most out of the same prayer, for example, so that we really achieve the results that it's supposed to give us. So salah, for example, this prayer which is supposed to benefit us, if it is not impacting us, on us, in a way that it's supposed, then we are doing something wrong. It means, in a way, that we're wasting time. That, because doing actions which are of no value, and if we do them over and over again, but they don't produce any results, then it's close to insanity. One of the definitions of insanity is when a person does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, but he gets the same result. But he keeps doing it over and over again, expecting a different result. And we don't want to fall under that category. So in example of the prayer, if also we find that we pray, but it's not really giving us the results, then we can't just go on praying the same way. It's not that, I'm not saying that, you know, we should leave the prayer altogether, but we should do something about it. We should look what's wrong with our prayer. Why are we not really feeling this connection with Allah? Why are we thinking about other things in our prayer? So that we really make the most out of it and out of the time we spend on it. And we don't really do this as much in other areas of life. I mean, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But we often seem to do it with Islam. And the problem is, we often consider Islam as a cultural habit. We practice because our parents used to do it, or they do it, or our family does it, or the community does it. And it's the norm, so we just do it as well. But that time is not really spent in the proper way that Islam requires us to spend it. We have to have the connection to the things, to the acts of worship that we do, and we have to make most out of them so that this time is actually spent in a way that benefits us and not that it harms us or doesn't do us any good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion said, "This world is cursed and everything in it is cursed." And this seems like a really negative look at the world, if you just take that statement on face value. Because the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a very positive person, with so many things, the positive things he said. So why this negativity, and what is he referring to? What makes this world a curse? It becomes a curse when we are addicted to it. It's true that we have to live in this world, and we are not supposed to run away from this world. like go live on a mountain somewhere far away from people or somewhere in the woods, cutting oneself off from the society. This is not the Islamic way. Instead, we just have to be careful how we live in this world and how we spend our time. Because if we become addicted to this world, we waste our time doing things that are useless, of no benefit. Not in this world, and also of no benefit in our hereafter. So the way forward, the Prophet ﷺ went on to say in the same hadith, إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. So he didn't say that this world is just cursed, but that amongst the things of this world that are not cursed and are in fact beneficial, and if we engage in it and become attached to it, it will benefit us. So he said, except remembrance of Allah. And also that which helps us on remembrance of Allah, those things that lead us to the remembrance of Allah. So if we engage in these things, then our time becomes valuable and beneficial. So in terms of our goals, what each and every one of us should set for ourselves is engaging ourselves in remembrance of Allah and everything related to it. And one of these things is learning or teaching this religion. And the most valuable knowledge is the knowledge about Allah. The most beneficial and truthful knowledge is that which is conveyed by the revelation. So we start from that. Knowing Allah, knowing who He is, knowing His attributes. And then we can worship Him in the way that He deserves to be worshipped. And then we start utilizing our time also in the worship of Allah and turning things that are not in and of itself an act of worship, we turn it into an act of worship with the correct intention and by following the Prophet ﷺ in doing it. So this dunya is only cursed for the person, for those who have missed out on the remembrance of Allah and seeking knowledge and conveying it. So if we are to value time, we should make sure we engage at least in one of these three things. Or all three of them. And in terms of the ways that we spend our time, we either spend it in thought, in conversation, or action. And the time we do something, either thinking about something or having a conversation or doing something, it can be interrupted in certain points by the people around us, etc. But this again doesn't mean that we should go live in the woods away from the people so that we can focus on our thoughts or our actions without any disturbance. This is not the Islamic way. The Islamic way is with the society. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the Muslim who mixes with the people and bears their harm is better than the one who doesn't mix with them and doesn't bear their harm. Though in both of them there is good, but the Muslim who does bear this harm amongst the people and doesn't run away from the people, he stays in the society, lives his daily life, he's better than the one who runs away from it just to avoid the harm of the people. So when living in this world, we can't really avoid being interrupted, whether it's in our thoughts, in our conversations or actions. But the most important thing is not so much to eliminate the interruptions, because they are natural, whether we like it or not, they do occur. They're going to happen. You can't guarantee time exclusively for yourself. But what you can do is to control that time which you spend in dealing with those interruptions and not letting them take over and run away with your time. So the interruptions are coming. We can't stop them. But how much do we let them interfere? And some of them are just needs that have to be taken care of. Some of them are wants, and some of them are just diversions. So you also control them accordingly. Something that is in need, you have to give time to do it. You have to sleep, you have to eat, etc. And that which is a want, if it's a person that depends on you, for example, then you also spend time with them and dealing with their wants. And when it's just a time waster or a diversion, then you try to minimize it. So it means that we must prioritize. You have to prioritize and utilize your time effectively and prioritize. So these things which are most important, the most urgent ones, these are the things that you need to be doing regularly, getting them done, In that way, we put value to our time. And those things which are not so important, which are not urgent, we should avoid them. And they are not important, so, you know, leave them to the back or drop them altogether if you can. Or if they still need to be done at certain time, then do them, but put them at the end of your list. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us further guidance in regards to our time. He said in another hadith, there are two blessings in which many people incur loss. They are health and spare time for doing good. So we all think that we have time. And what that leads to, of course, is procrastination. We think we have so much time, so we can put doing all these important things until later. We think there's plenty of time. And we can see this in so many areas. In some communities, for example, it happens that when a young person wants to make Hajj, the elders tell him, you know, don't do it yet. You still have a lot of time. You know, wait until you're like 50 or 60, because you will still do a lot of sins in your life. So wait until you get old, and then you go and make Hajj so that you, you know, you become clean again. You make Hajj to wipe all the sins away. So in some cases, young people are actually discouraged to make Hajj. However, in Islam, we should make it as soon as we have the means to it. And this goes about anything and everything good that we want to do or we can do, whether it's the prayer, whether it's giving some charity. If we delay it and we postpone it, there's always a chance that we will never get to do it. So it's always better to do it as fast as we can. So the guideline we have with this spare time, al-faraq, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to be aware of it because it gets abused, this spare time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that spare time saying, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So when you have finished your duties, when you have this spare time, then stand up for worship. And this concept of devoting our time to worship is also found in this another ayah in which Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, indeed my prayer, my rites of sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds. And that is really the ultimate goal. That all of our time becomes time for Allah. And some of it is time for specified worship, some of it is time for unspecified worship. And the meaning of it is not that we spend all our nights praying and all our days fasting, as this is something that the Prophet ﷺ disliked and he discouraged that from his companions, because in his time, three people, all of them vowed to do something, an act of worship for Allah. One of them said that he will fast and he will never break fast. He will fast every day, nonstop. Doesn't mean that he fasts at night, but he fasts every day, continuously. And another man said that he will pray every night, that he will spend his whole nights praying without getting any sleep at night. And the third one, he vowed to never marry women. So when the Prophet ﷺ found out about this man, he became angry. And he explained to them that this is not the right way in Islam, because he also sleeps and he prays and he eats and he fasts and he also marries women. Although he was the most God-conscious and the most pious of them all. So this doesn't mean that when we're saying that we want to make all of our time to Allah, it doesn't mean that we spend all our days praying and fasting, etc. So this is really an important concept to understand, that rather this means that whatever we do, regardless of the circumstances, the time frame, etc., we do what is pleasing to Allah. Why? Because doing what is pleasing to Allah is worship, and that is really the essence of it. And we have been created to utilize this act of worship so as to get to the ultimate goal of our creation, which of course is to enjoy the bliss of paradise, Jannah. And this is the goal. And this is what we were actually created for. Allah didn't create us for hell, but He gave us a choice He created us for paradise. Every single human being was actually created for paradise. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, that for every human being, there's a place in paradise for which they were created, and it's there. There is a place for paradise for every human being. However, we were given a choice of whether we want to go there or not. For there to be a choice, there also has to be hell. But ultimately, Allah created us for paradise. And this is why this is an important thing to understand, because some people might tell us that, some non-Muslims might tell us that, oh, you know, you say your God is merciful, so why does he put people in hell? But the truth is that he has given everyone a choice, and whether we end up in paradise or hellfire is based on the choices that we make in this life. Another important point about time is that every single one of us has been given a fixed amount of time, and we don't know how long it is. And it might be that one of us will leave from this lecture and die on his way home, or go to sleep tonight and not wake up tomorrow. And it's happening all around us. About 150,000 people die every single day. And we have no guarantee that we are not going to be amongst these people today. So we really don't know how much time we have, but we know that there is a set amount. We don't know how much we have, we don't know how long we have, but we know that it's fixed and it's set. So what can we do? We can focus on the time that we have, which is now. What is available to us now, we need to focus on it and make sure that we are getting the maximum we can out of it, to use it and to utilize it in the best way that we can. And if we are able to do that, we will be successful. But if we fail to do that, we will be unsuccessful. It's really very simple. Now, I would like really all of us to think about how we spend our time, and if we are really spending it in a way that makes sense. And think about also about what all this procrastination has cost you. Think about the things that you have missed out on because of it. You delayed something, you thought, I'm gonna do it later, I'm gonna postpone it, I'm gonna do it then and there. But then this opportunity, you know, went by, or you never ended up doing that. Think about what you could have done and where you could have come with your life if you would have done all these things when you had the chance. And then also imagine yourself being on the deathbed, looking back at your life and how you spent your time, and really thinking about how you wasted so much of it on things that didn't bring any benefit for you in this life, and also not for your afterlife. And thinking about how you could have, you know, spent all this time instead working on things that bring you good in dunya, or that are going to benefit you in the afterlife. And also think about how you waste hours, not just minutes, but hours daily on things that don't really benefit you. And to bring this closer to ourselves, let us use some examples and add some numbers to them as well. Because these days we all tend to spend a lot of time on our phones, for example, or on the internet, or watching TV. So be it, like for example, on the phone, be it on social media, you know, we're on Facebook, we're scrolling down, we're on Instagram, or we're watching some cat videos or whatever on YouTube, and suddenly we see that 1 hour has passed, 2 hours, 3 hours. So it's not really rare that we spend 2 to 3 hours daily on these things that really don't benefit us and don't do us any good. Not for our life in this world, and also not for our hereafter. So let us think about it now. If a person spends 3 hours on this stuff daily, then by the end of the year, he or she will have wasted over 1,000 hours. Think about that. And let's just suppose that all of us here will live for another 50 years and continue doing that, spending 3 hours daily on YouTube, Facebook, chatting for for, you know, random topics for no particular benefit. Not that socializing is not a good thing. It has its place in Islam, and we have to socialize with our family. We need to have friends, etc. But I'm talking about spending hours on WhatsApp or like whatever app that we are using. So imagine we spend 3 hours and we continue doing that for another 50 years every day. It means that after these 50 years, we will have spent over 6 years on these things, on our phone, scrolling down on Facebook or watching these YouTube videos or going through Instagram posts, etc. On stuff basically that is of no benefit really, and that really doesn't even make us feel truly happy or fulfilled. So thinking about it this way, with the end in mind, when we're on our deathbed and looking back at our lives, how we could have spent our time better and how we wasted so much of it. So imagine even if after 5 or 10 years, you are still in the exact state you are in now, and you haven't become better spiritually, and you also haven't made any improvements in your worldly life. Imagine yourself in after 5 or 10 years listening to just another one of these lectures, reminding you to make changes and take action. And how would you feel looking back that 5 years ago you were still you were at this exact same situation? Or if you, even if you think about it now, think about where you were before 5 years or 10 years ago, and think about where you could have been if you had spent your time beneficially. So think about how you would feel after like 5 years, 10 years, or even on your deathbed. Do you really want to give procrastination so much power over yourself? And do you want to really look back at your life, at your in your deathbed, regretting wasting all this time and thinking about all the things that you could have done and achieved in your life that would have benefited you in this life or the next life, or just made a positive impact on the world? And let us think about it and keep reminding ourselves about this daily. And there are so many things that we can do to try and spend our time in a better way, to stop wasting so much time. One thing we all have to learn is to say no. And not, I don't mean just saying no to obligations or other people, but just saying no to ourselves, to some things that we do, to change our habits. Like if we have a habit of picking up the phone as the first thing in the morning and then finding ourselves spending half an hour, 1 hour going through Facebook, YouTube, whatever, then we have to start saying no to that. And we have to remind ourselves constantly about it. Because people, they often have these to-do lists. They know what they have to get done. But just as important, or even more important, is a not-to-do list. And every one of us can create a not-to-do list by looking at their day, looking at their week, and looking at the things that they do as a habit that really do not benefit them at all, not in this life and not in the next, and really don't also give them actual happiness or feeling of fulfillment. So we have to find these things, write them down, and make our best and try our best to cut them out completely, or at least to minimize the time we spend on them. When you, let's say you spend 2 hours on YouTube every day, try to cut it down to half an hour. Even with that, you just want 1.5 hours you can spend on doing things that really, really can do good for you or others. And with these things, overcoming procrastination or setting goals or making most out of your time, there's absolutely no harm in turning towards non-Muslims and their books and their videos for guidance and this knowledge. And I'm not talking about spiritual guidance here, but just the ways, the tips and the know-hows for making improvements in our lives regarding our time and how we spend it. Because there is a misconception that, you know, we have the Quran and we have the Sunnah, so we don't really, you know, we shouldn't really look into other books, into other, you know, videos, especially if they're made by non-Muslims, but really there is no harm in it. We can benefit from them and we can imply it, still not leaving the frames of the guidelines that Islam has given us. Because there are really so many books that have been written about these things, as well as videos made on YouTube and elsewhere about these topics, that can really help us revalue our use of time and then make the necessary changes to how we spend it. So when we leave here today, let us take with us this reminder concerning this value we place in our time. And let us all try and work towards spending our time in a way that benefits us and is pleasing to Allah. And I ask Allah to give us the wisdom and commitment to utilize our time as it deserves to be utilized, and to make the best out of it, to spend it wisely, to use it wisely. And I ask Allah to protect us from the evils of procrastination, of being deluded to think that we have lots of time, that we have so much spare time. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.